service is yours.
All right, preacher, thank you so much. And church, again, thank you for coming back and being with us. It's always a joy and a privilege, I think, together with God's people. There have been places you've been today where the people were godless. But tonight you got to come to a place where people are God's people. And I think that's a joy and a privilege we all should never take for granted. There's an imperfection here. I promise you that. Because I'm here. There's imperfections here. But I sure am glad the perfect one enters into our imperfections and he causes us to be more like him than we ever would have been without him. The music's been good. The attendance has been good. The fellowship with your preacher today has been a blessing. Tomorrow night and Thursday night will be no less. You owe it to yourself to do everything you can to gather together in these days and try to find some strength. Somebody's preaching may not be like somebody else's, but like the pastor said last night, as long as you can squeeze truth out of it, it'll change your life, because the truth will set you not only upright, but it'll set you free. And I thank the Lord for that. And I'm grateful that you're here. You folks that are visiting with us tonight, maybe from other places, we're delighted to have you. And if there's anything that's any more difficult for a preacher to do, I don't know what it is, any more than attend somebody else's meeting on a night when you don't have to. But I do appreciate you coming, and I'm grateful that you're here. Sometimes that night you just like to kick back in a rocker, kick back in one of those, here it is, recliners. Amen. I like that word. Recliners. And just do nothing. But you have chosen to come over here and be with us, and we're delighted tonight that you've come. I want you to get your Bible, please, and hold your finger and your thought for a moment in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter number 13. Now, as we look at this portion of Scripture, you're going to find out our particular context is going to be in verses 1 through 17. This is the story where Jesus had, the Bible says, supper being ended, he took up a towel or a loincloth and he adorned it, put off his garment, put off his apparel, put off his agenda, put off his thought, and he turned his thoughts now toward the disciples. And the Bible says he began to wash their feet. Now, I do not think that this has got to be an ordinance for us to do it, because probably that's something we can do at the house. Can anybody say amen? And I hope you will. For all of us, I hope you will. And in this portion, he talks about what it takes to be really happy. Now watch it. Look at verse 17. It's the text. I'm going to read one verse and preach out of the context of these other verses. Verse 17, if ye know these things, comma, happy are ye. Now, if he had to put a period right there, just knowing what to do would bring you happiness. But it didn't put a period there. There's a comma. It says, happy are ye, comma, if you do them. How many of you believe you got to do something to have something? Mm-hmm. God gives you salvation freely and postage paid. You don't have to do, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according, King James, to his mercy, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness. It's not by what we do. But after you receive salvation, there is a working it out with fear and trembling. If we're going to have what we need from our salvation, not for it, not for it. Oh, two words that could mess up everybody's theology. Our happiness is going to come out of working because of our salvation, not for our salvation. Now I want to talk to you tonight on that little subject out of verse number 15. One word, happy. Can you say that word with me? Happy. Can you say it out loud? Happy. Some of you hadn't been that in so long, you can't say it. Come on, one more time. Happy. Now God intends for his children to have joy and happiness in life. God is our happiness and our joy. And out of this word tonight, and around the context of chapter number 13, I want to show you out of an acrostic of this word, what and where happiness lies. It lies, first of all, in the H. Write it down somewhere on a piece of paper. The word holiness. Now, don't let that scare you. Don't let that bother you. I'm not talking about Pentecostal holiness. I'm talking about holiness. The Bible says, for which, if a man doesn't have it, he shall not see God. Are you listening? Holiness. I like what Psalm 32:1 says. Blessed, that word blessed in the Old Testament, Psalm 32:1, and this word in John 13 and 17, happiness or happy and blessed in the Hebrew is the basic same definition. Happy in 17 and blessed in Psalm 32:1 is the same. You wouldn't do anything to the text if you said, happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, comma, and whose sins are covered. That's good preaching if I am a doer. Thank God that we are not made happy by the amount of money we have. I know some rich people ain't near as happy as I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know some poor people a whole lot happier than I am. So it is not hinging on how much you're worth. It hinges on how much you want to let God's worth become yours. Holiness, happiness, and holiness are first cousins. They're in the same family, real close up to one another. I remember when I first got saved, do you? The joy and the happy that broke out on me like the mumps. Yes, sir. I mean, God began to stir in my life, and the reason that I was so overjoyed was simply because that's the cleanest I'd ever been. I want you to think about this for just a moment. When have you ever been more right with God than you was 5 minutes after you got saved? All your sin gone. All your transgressions cut. Good God, I'm fixing to run. All your past covered. All your penalties settled. All of your worthless works and your ungodliness taken care of because God covered it by the blood. That's good to say good. It's good to wave your hand. It's good to praise God. It's good to wake up to the fact that God's forgiveness brings happiness. People are sucking on a fifth of something. They're toking on a joint somewhere tonight, shooting stuff in their veins, and they're snorting stuff up their nose. God, people are going to every length to be happy. They're hiring this professional. They're going to that clinic. They're trying to find a new lease somewhere else. They're doing everything and anything to get happy. And you'll never know happy until you know Jesus in the free pardon. Free pardon. Help me, sister. Free pardon of your sin. Well, I have a problem with the church. I ain't said nothing about no church. I'm talking about Jesus. Well, I have a problem with doctrine. I ain't saying nothing about doctrine. I'm telling you, if Jesus starts plowing in your garden, you gonna eat some mater sandwiches soon. Amen. Happiness and holiness are first cousins. Because if you get holy, God's going to let you get happy. And if you get happy, it's because you bumped into holiness. I went off to Bible school. I tried my best to do well. I was not a good student. I did not do well in high school. God called me to preach when I was 21. That's why when you're in those formative years, you ought to do your best, because you're going to get down here somewhere where you're going to need to know something. I know you don't believe this, but you're going to need to know something to go somewhere. And you ain't going to have it if you don't get it when you're supposed to have gotten it. You drop out if you want to, but you ain't going to drop in when you need to. Hang in there, boys. It'll all pan out after a while. So I wasn't doing well in college. I had two buddies I run around with in school, photographic memories. Look at something one time. Don't you hate them kind of people? I pray that the fleas of 1,000 camels would inhabit their hair and they scratch themselves to death. Amen. Just didn't have to, they'd just look at it. Just bam, and retain it. I could stand on top of it. I could beg it. I could memorize it. I could plead with it, and it would never get on me. But I had decided in my Old Testament survey class, which I was in with these two boys from Alabama, I'd done all I could one night. I sat up all night long, and I studied, and I memorized, and I studied, and I memorized. And the joy of God was in my life. The next day, I studied Schultz's book. I studied, and I memorized. My wife called out questions till 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, I'm going to ace one if I don't ever ace another one. I'm going to make good on this, and I'm going to rub it in their face. I got to class the next morning feeling real brilliant. I sat down at my desk, and this teacher had some quirky, is that a word up here? Quirky, if it ain't, let's make one up. It means he was weird. He had some quirky ways about him. For instance, when those papers came in from those oral questions, he'd only repeat them once. And when them papers came in, he'd put them in his satchel and he'd close it. And nobody got that paper in there when he closed it. Well, he's asking those questions orally. And I'm spitting out answers before he finishes the sentences because I'm brilliant. This day I'm brilliant. Dumb the rest of the time, but I'm brilliant. And then he done what every professor loves to do. He made this statement. The last question is not in the notes. My question is, why ain't it in the notes? But I ain't going to ask it because I want to stay in college. And he said, name the last historical book among the 13. He said, it ain't in the notes, but you ought to know it. I said, I said, oh God. You know I got nine of these questions right. Don't leave me now. Give me that 10th one, Holy Ghost. If you ever reveal something to a man, if you ever opened up a man's mind, reveal to me, I pray, right now. And they was handing in the papers because it was the last question. And the girl behind me laid her paper across my shoulder and it opened up. I said, hallelujah. You was thinking I said I'm going to be smart and right. Not. Oh, no, 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 no. I said, God is good to answer prayer. You know what I did? A second semester freshman in college, I wrote it down. Cheated, bigger than Ike, wrote it down. But I had that 100. None of you will relate to this because you all are North Carolinian perfect. But oh, I wanted to be something so bad that I'd lie to be it. You ain't never done nothing like that, have you? We went over to the post office to get our mail like we always did after that class. Them old boys walking through, I saw both of them. I said, how'd y'all do? One of them said, I missed two. How'd you do, Bob? He said, I think I missed three of them. I said, I made 100. And all of a sudden, I heard something say, I don't have to demonstrate to you who that is. Every day we had that class, we had chapel. We'd all, there's about 7 or 8 of us that was there for the right reason. We'd get on the front row and we'd egg a dead preacher on. When he said, open your Bible, amen. We'd be swinging our coats in the introduction. He could have preached on Yankee Doodle. Yes! If it ain't in there, it ought to be. We'd just ag him on. I got there that morning and I tried everywhere in the world. I couldn't get a blessed thing to come out of my mouth that was right. I said, Lord, what's wrong? He said, you know what's wrong. But Lord, I stayed up to 4 o'clock. Can't you cut me a little slack? Have you found him to be one way? Yeah. Yeah, I found him to be real narrow when it comes to the truth. I messed around for 2 days and tried to feel good about my stupidity. But you ain't never done nothing like that because you are from the mountains of perfection. That second trip to chapel done me. I said, I went to a little old place where I would go to pray. And I knelt down. I said, God, I tried my best to do my best. And I had to become a liar to be brilliant. Would you take me back to dumb and give me my shout back? You can have your 100. And I'll take whatever that man will give me. If you'll just give me my shout back. All of a sudden I heard, I went to that professor. I went up to his class, and his name was Dr. McGraw. I said, Dr. McGraw, I come to tell you something. He said, Larry, I want to tell you something. I'm so proud. I didn't know if you was going to make it or not. He said, but you made the only 100 on my test. You know what? I can tell by the laughter that you know what my temptation was, because you've had some of it. My temptation was to say, well, I didn't study 5 minutes. It was a simple test. I just... No. I said, Doc, I come up here to tell you I didn't make 100. And I told him the story and told him how I cheated. I said, I promise you one thing, and it's not because I'm a good Christian or you're a great teacher. I said, but you won't ever have any more trouble out of me. If I fail the class, I won't cheat to pass it. I said, you take whatever grade you want to. I never did make 100 in college. For no reason. After that, when I told him that, he took 10 points off of my grade, and about as close as I ever got to 100 was a 90. But when I went to chapel the next day, it was, hey, glory, hallelujah, praise God. Now let me just suppose that there's somebody in here that needed that point and apply it and say, what got your shout? Are you listening? What got your shout? What is it that let holiness take a back seat and flesh start driving? Now, you don't have to sit there bored, and you don't have to sit there deadbeat. You don't have to go to church and not get nothing. You don't have to go to the house of God wilted. You don't have to go like last year's bird's nest, dry and dead. You can go happy in Jesus, but you can't play your game and do it. Am I right about it? Am I close to right about it? Amen. Happiness is holiness. Number two, the A in happy is for activity. In this story, the Bible teaches us that the joy, verse 17, the joy, if you know these things, happy are you if you what? Do them. That's activity. Now let me make a statement. Actions in a church, all actions, are not God actions. Just doing is not becoming. There's a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of stuff that's not making one bit of difference in their life. And it's religious. But when you get in your gift, in your gospel groove, and the Lord begins to activate your activity in the Holy Ghost, that's when joy and happiness. Jeff Wisnett and his mother and daddy are here tonight. And Jeff sings with his wife and a trio. And I guarantee you he'll stand up and testify to this. Some of the greatest moments and the happiest moments in his life was not when his mama made chocolate chip cookies, though that was right up there with one of the best. But the best ones is when he's heralding the name of Jesus to congregations where they look like they ain't never heard it before. When I first got saved, I was dumb as a stick about church. I'd only been four times on the fifth time I got saved. Now, you know, in a convention church, every October they have nominating committee. I think it's a good idea. They nominate people for jobs in the church. Well, I got saved third Sunday night in September, so I'm on the tail end of all this. But I done got hyper in Jesus. And they was talking about nominating committees meeting. I asked the preacher, what does that mean? He said, those are people that go through the congregation and get people to do something for this year. I said, anybody? He said, yeah, anybody. Well, I said, who's in charge of that? He said, Ed Cupid is. I said, well, he was the music director. I went to him. I said, I want a job in the church. He said, well, let me talk to the preacher and we'll see if we can't find you one. I went to the preacher. I said, has that guy talked to you yet about my job? He said, no, but we're going to get to it. I went a few more services and I was sitting on the front row. It wasn't far to me to get to him. And during the handshaking time, I went up and I said, how about my job? Have I got a job yet? He said, no, but Ed, we'll have you one for next service. Well, next service was when they was going to hand out the papers and everybody's job was told. Well, I was going around the corner in the Sunday school annex and there was Ed. I said, Ed, I need my job. Never will forget this. He looked at me. He said, brother, you're a novice. Now, I ain't got no Bible knowledge. I don't know nothing about no Bible. But where I come from, you call a man a name, and it's on. I said, I'm a what? Now, I ain't been saved about 3 weeks. I said, say what? He said, you're a novice. I said, one more time, you're going to be toothless. I mean, I wasn't saved long enough to be so saved I wouldn't slap the snot out of him. And then tell somebody he run into a wall or something. I didn't know what a novice was. By that time, the preacher come, he heard us. He come around the corner, he said, my God, what's wrong? I said, I'm fixing to beat the devil out of this man. He called me, he cussed me. Brother Cupid said, no, preacher. I did. He said, what'd you call him? He said, I told him he was a novice. I said, you see there? I'm going to bust him. Get out the way. He said, no. He said, all he means is you're inexperienced. I said, that ain't what he said. He said, that's what he meant. Calm down and hush. I said, all right. I shook his hand and I shook it hard. I said, what about my job? He said, I got you one. They had two old men in that church that was about 300, 400 years old apiece. They was on the building committee. This church ain't built nothing in 100 years, but they had a building committee. And under building committee, God is my witness, steeple inspection committee. Me and two old draft dodgers. Y'all are laughing at me. I'm going home. Yeah. I looked, they got up and read the nominating committee's report. Building committee, they told about who was on this and who done that and who done the yards and who done the grounds and who done, and then it said steeple inspection committee. And I was on it. That was my first job in church. I thought they wanted you to do it. Every service I'd done two things. I'd pull up in the yard in that hopped up 396 Chevelle I had. I'd put my Winstons over the sun visor and I'd get out, I'd get my wife, and me and her both. We walked, we looked, we inspected the steeple. I'd go over on this side. I remember one time Bird started building in it. I like to split the church over that one. I'd come back in and sit down on the front. I'd come up where the preacher was doing announcements. Everything's all right. Preach on, brother. It's wonderful in the steeple. He asked Ed Cupid, "What'd you tell him to do?" He said, "I ain't told him nothing." He said, "He's just out there walking around. People think he's lost his mind. He's walking around the church every time he comes. And he's looking up, bumping into bushes, stepping on rose bushes. He's just walking around looking and gazing." And then Mike Curry called me, the preacher. He said, "What are you doing when you're out there?" I said, "I'm doing my job." He said, "What is your job?" I said, "To inspect the steeple." He said, "My God, is that on there?" And he went and got his, little report. He said, "Oh yeah, yeah, it is. Well, I'm taking you off of that. God is my witness. I'm taking your name off of that." I said, "What do I do now?" He said, "You're going to be an assistant in a class." I said, "Is that a promotion?" He said, "Yes, sir. You're going from walking around making people think you're crazy to assistant in a Sunday school class." Do you know why God called me to preach? He just knew I would. Anybody that will inspect steeples, they do about anything you ask them to. Yeah. Activity brings happiness. I'm as happy right now. Somebody said, "Do you do this and do you do that? Do you ever recreate over here? Do you ever go over here? Do you ever vacate over here? Ever been on a cruise with Joe Arthur?" I don't go nowhere with Joe Arthur. I still got my right mind. Now, you know I ain't been far with him. You been there? You been here? No. I have found out that a hole-in-one don't feel near as good as what I'm doing right now. What God has called you to do, do it with all your heart. And if it don't bring you a sack full of happy, I'll take it back. But until then, I ain't taking nothing back, because I know that the joy of God is in the calling of God. Activity. What was the H? Holiness. Come on. holiness. God wants us to be right with him. That don't mean that we're not going to sin. It just means we're going to the right place and get it fixed. Activity, what you do in your calling, will produce a furtherance of your calling. You know why preachers are getting out of the ministry left and right? It's because they're losing the happiness that goes along with it. You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on a church member to leave right. Has anybody ever seen a church? Mine, when they come to me, they're sitting back there, stand up. We all stand and start singing Amazing. Who wants to join? Oh God, me, let me. And when they leave, bless God, he didn't have to talk about me like that. I ain't never gonna put up with that, Tara. I done hooked a plow and got right in the middle of your field. Yeah, that one won't do it. No, my wife, you've been talking to him, ain't you? You ever call that preacher again, I'm gonna box your jaw. You know what I'm waiting on? Hallelujah! I'm leaving! Glory to God! I'm out of here! The Holy Ghost told me to go! Bye! Ain't never met him yet. I was in Kroger the other night talking to a stalk of bananas. Don't take much to satisfy some people. I was. My wife was shopping. I can't stand, she can't stand me much, but I'm standing there talking to them bananas. I said, you boys are doing the right thing. Y'all doing right. Man walked by me. I said, how you doing? He said, better than you are. I said, every one of y'all doing right. I said, it's safe what you're doing. What you're doing right there is safe. Mm-hmm. Safe. Long as you own that stock, can't nobody peel you. The worst place a nana can be is by itself. Because somebody... But long as he's on that stalk, there is safety in the bunch. But the worst place you ever get is waving that stalk. Because the peeler ain't far in the next aisle. I believe it. Yes, sir. Active. Find you something that God has anointed you to do and do it. I've been doing this 37 years. I'm as happy as a pig in good slop. I enjoy what I do well enough to run the streets and run the roads and put up with Baptist people and do it because I didn't get in it for folks. I didn't get in it for fellowship. I got in it by faith to represent the one who saved me out of hell. And if I die in the middle of a sermon, don't you even stop long enough to bury me. Step over me and finish the sermon. Because I'm in good hands with Jesus. And number three, there's a P in happy. You got to be a partaker. Jesus came to Peter and he's got his towel on and Simon pulls his feet back and says, you're not washing my feet. Jesus said, if I don't, now here's exactly what it means It says you won't have any part with me. Here's exactly what it means. There is a part of me you won't know. F.B. Meyer said about this portion of scripture, he's not talking about cutting him out of the fold. No, sir. He's talking about drawing him into the inner sanctum of reason for serving God. He said, there's a part of me you'll miss out on if you don't partake of what I'm doing to you. Old Simon Peter broke loose and said, not my feet only, but my head and my body. Jesus said, you don't need a whole bath. No, sir. He said, I've already made you every whit whole. You just need your feet washed where you got dirty. And Jesus began to wash the feet. And Simon Peter became a partaker. How many of us won't let somebody else get happy doing something good for us? Are you listening? Brother William back here, he has slipped up to me on more than one occasion and put a little money in my pocket, and he never has known any need I ever had. He never asked. It would be at Blue Ridge, or it'd be over at Holly Springs, it'd be somewhere. He'd slip money. And I'm not saying this to swell him up. That girl he's with already got him just as red in the face as he can get. So I'm not saying that to swell him up, but I am saying that there has been times it, I could have looked at him and said, brother, you don't have to do that for me. And I'd have killed his happy. I thought it was a wonderful thing that Holly Springs got Brother Wade that 55 Chevrolet. I ain't seen it, but bless God I will. And when I do, I'm going to drive it. I don't give a rip about his horse, but I'm going to drive his car. And I'm going to take it uptown. And I'm going to tell everybody, guess whose this is? And if they say whose, I'm going to tell them his. But if they don't, I'm going to make them think it's mine. What if he'd have said, I can't take this? Just kill that whole crowd. It's not the car. It's the compassion. I remember one time I had something happen to me that comes to mind. Don't worry about that youngin'. That's somebody's grandbaby. Amen. Don't whoop it either. I used to whoop them when I didn't have no grandbabies. I got grandbabies. I won't let you whoop them now. Because that's what grandparents are for, to be ignorant. I had a woman in the church there. She's still there. She had a daughter that was 42 and had never spoken a word. She was a vegetable in a wheelchair at her house. And I didn't even know that the woman had a daughter. I pastored her 4 years before this incident. She was 42. She lived about 45 miles from us. Little place called Gibson, Georgia. And I had no idea. I'd never been to her house because of the distance and the invitation. And this girl died. And she asked me to come and be a part of a graveside service at a church down there. This woman is poverty stricken to the core. She's one of the poorest people I've ever pastored. I love her to death. Her daughter, 42, is dead. My sister pastor and I went down there. There was about 15 people at the funeral. Just barely enough to pallbearer out of the little old church and to the graveyard. That woman walked up to me after the service in maybe $15 or $20 worth of clothes. Everything she had on didn't cost much. Just homely and country. She handed me an envelope. And I took it and stuck it in the back of my Bible. And I said, thank you. And I hope and pray God will bless you. And Steve and I was going on to Pembroke, Georgia to preach that night. And I forgot all about the little envelope until I got back home that early the next morning. We had to drive from Savannah back home. And I dump all my stuff out on the chest of drawers and went to bed. And the next morning I got up and there was that card, my Bible, and that card was in it. And I opened it and it was $100. I said, there ain't no way in the world I can take $100, Miss Woman. She had a room in her house where her washing machine was, a pitiful looking one, but one. It was dirt floor. This woman was poor. No wonder she didn't have me over there. We later went and fixed her house for her. But she had a dirt floor. I couldn't keep $100. I stuck it in my pocket. I said, when I see her at church, I'll give it back to her. Went to prayer meeting that night, and I was trying to get everything ready, and I just forgot about the money, getting all everything set up. And I looked, and she was standing right there at the platform just before the service started. And I'll never forget this. I knelt down. I put my hand in my pocket to get that money out. And I happened to kneel down and I said, can I help you, honey? She said, yes. She said, I just wanted to come up here and thank you for burying my little girl. And she said, something else I want to thank you for. I want to thank you that you didn't try to give me that money back and treated me like everybody else in the church. My hand was glued in my pocket. She kissed my face. I could feel it when I tell it. She kissed my face. And she said, I feel like all the other members now. Thank you for making me happy. I took that $100. For months I kept it. And I thought, God, she feels like all the rest of us. And just a little bit of partaking made her feel equal. Don't turn people away from you. How can anybody get happy if everybody stops everybody from doing something? Son, you made my night last night when you came up to me right over there and hugged my neck and asked me to pray for you. I prayed two or three times today and saw your face and prayed for you. That's a joy to my life. You see, God sent you to me to speak. The preaching stirred you. And I got happy because you got to be a partaker. And that's exactly how God wants it. Not only that, there's another P, and I got to hush. There's another P. What was the H? Holiness. Say it with me. Holiness. What's the A? Activity. Say it again. Activity. What was the P? Partaker. Let somebody be good to you. And don't take them for granted. No, sir. But let somebody be good to you if it brings joy to the heart. And then you got to be pardonable. You got to be willing not to be bitter and forgive. You'll never be happy if you're out with people of God. Now you can like it or you can love it or you can leave it or you can take it home with you. But you ain't never going to get happy when you cross ways with the people of God. I make sure I don't create no enemies. And if I do, I fix it as soon as I can before the sun goes down. Because I don't want my joy hinging on nor hanging on my feelings of unforgiveness. Are you listening? Have you ever wondered whose feet got washed in this story? Judas's. I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody in here got an enemy any greater than the enemy Jesus washed his feet? When I come to Judas, I'd cut his toes off. Let me wash this one in the other room. I just can't get over what she done to me. Well, let me take you to a place where somebody really got done But he stooped down and washed. The one who abandoned him to the devil washed his feet. You have not got a fence to sit on and crow about your feelings. When you look at what Jesus tolerated to fellowship. If he washed Judas's feet, you ought to forgive your sister, your brother, your mother, your daddy, your ex-pastor, or protege of any kind or description. Am I right about it? Are you still with me, or are we waning now? We ought to be pardonable. Pardonable. I was preaching not long ago in a meeting about an hour and a half from home, and I preached on Psalm 51, just took it out of the air and took off with it. There was an altar full of people, and there was a man who was a preacher, came to the meeting, and he was over there sobbing, and I knew him. And I said, help him, Lord. Gave the invitation, continue. He's the last one to leave. Matter of fact, he stood up and he didn't leave. He motioned for me to come down. I walked down there. I said, I called him by his name. I said, what can I do with you for you? He said, you can forgive me. I said, for what? He said, I've talked about you like a dog. He said, you know I'm on deputation. I said, yes, sir, I heard that. I was going to be a missionary. He said, I've been begging God to use me. And he said, every time I get down to pray, he said, I see your face. Amen. And he said this. He said, I'm tired of looking at you. That's exactly what he told me. And he said, I want God's blessing and I can't have it unless you give me yours. And I pulled him to me and I hugged his neck. I said, don't you think about it one more time. It's done and over. Forget about it. That guy just sobbed on my shoulder. There's 300 people standing there watching. And he just weeping. I get letters from him every month. He never fails to write something on the bottom of it that's always precious. And I remember just a little while back, I got a missionary letter at the bottom said, I wouldn't even be doing what I'm doing if you hadn't given me forgiveness. I want to tell you something. I didn't do that for him. I did it for myself. If you know your brother has aught against you, leave your gift, go get right and come back and present you. You got a Bible? If you'd quit bragging about the version and start reading the context, it'd probably help somebody. Because your boasting about carrying it is not impressing anybody. But it's depressing you. I ain't a bragging on nothing I ain't a using. And I love it. It's the only one I read out of. Thank God for it. But I ain't gonna brag on the book if I can't brag on the look.
Amen.
That's all right.
Amen. Get over what somebody done to you and get happy again. Then there's a why, and I'm done. I quit. I'm finished. That why is for yielded. You'll never become happy in your anointing until you get yielded to your anointer. I'm talking about yielded to this point. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Can I say something to you? When you get the happiest will be when you are the most yielded to God. I don't pick and choose where I go preach. If they give me something, hallelujah. If they don't, hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm happy when I am following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That boy never asked me for a dime to sing, and the day he does, he won't sing again. And let that be known to everybody. And that's not a knock on him. It's just you got to do it for the glory. It is chicken one week and feathers the next, but praise God, it's still chicken. When it is chicken, you glad it ain't feather. But what good is it if it doesn't bring honor and glory to God? I never have been here. I know you preacher from camp meetings and places I've preached, but the first time I'd ever been on this property was last night. I didn't call 10 preachers and find out how much I was going to get paid. I didn't call 10 preachers and find out have they got a good spirit. If I can't bring a little bit of something here that'll change something, then maybe I ought to go home and retune my music. God will send somebody somewhere to be a blessing, not to get what they got and put it in your pocket. Happy is the guy who's yielded to the mind of God. I was preaching over in Talladega, Alabama. There was a man in the service that looked like he had stepped out of Vogue magazine. He had every hair sprayed right. I swore he had on makeup. I don't know if he did. He had on, I bet he had on $1,200 worth of clothes. Back then, that was a lot of money. He just had it all together. And I preached, and I was standing up there soaking wet and sopping wet in a polyester suit that cost about $29.50. Sopping wet, talking to people nobody else would have anything to do with. He come up there and was in line, and that's when I seen him. And he shook my hand, and he put his arm around my neck, pulled me aside. I'll never forget what he told me. It rings like a recording. He said, if I had half of the happiness that you seem to have, I would consider my life worth living. He said, thank you, and walked off, went right down the aisle, stood back there with his wife, and she looked as good as he, and there they stood. The preacher come and got me. I said, preacher, we're going out. I went to that meeting in a Volkswagen, had 160,000 miles on it. I mean, it was humming. And I looked, I said, who is that guy right yonder? He said, that man probably owns half of the state of Alabama. He said, I know he's a multimillionaire and he's probably a billionaire. He said, if he had half of what I had, I wonder if I could sell him half of it. I said, you don't mean it. He said, yes. He said, he owns every big conglomerate food chain across this country. I went out of there, went and got in that Volkswagen to follow that preacher to a Crystal Burger or something. We wasn't eating where he was going. I got in that little old Volkswagen. You know one of them kind where you pull up levers for the heater and it just heats off the motor? Ain't got no blower. 65 cherry red Volkswagen. You ain't got nothing if you got a Volkswagen. I push the clutch in and put it in gear. I mean, you just finally throw it in gear, jump, boom, and take off. And I thought, will I even get back home? I was riding down the road, that thing clanging and clanging and a banging and cold. And I just said, Lord, that man got all that stuff. He probably got in a brand new automobile, got all that stuff, and he's on his way home to unhappy. And here I am banging around in this red box, about to freeze to death. But me and you, we got our own thing going, ain't we? Woo! That's all I got, son. Do what you can with it. Hallelujah. I love you, church. Get happy in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say amen tonight. Amen.